Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. We often remember the great men of American history like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, among many others. But what's missing from this list? Aha, it's the women of the American Revolution. They were also critical to its success. Today, our president and founder, Kimberly Fletcher, and her daughter, Cassie, are remembering the ladies. Stay with us. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Carlitis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad that you mamas are joining us again today. Every episode, we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. Well, I've got some special guests on today's show. Most of you know Moms for America's founder and president, Kimberly Fletcher. Kimberly started this organization 21 years ago, and from the very beginning, she has rooted Moms for America in the principles of liberty and virtue upon which our nation was founded. Now, Kimberly's daughter, Cassie, is an amazing writer, and she is the executive director of our membership and education department here at Moms for America. This dynamic duo, this mother-daughter duo, has written a wonderful book called Remembering the Ladies, True Stories of the Women Who Wove a Nation. All right. Well, I teased it all in the beginning here. I have some incredible guests here today. We have the founder, the president of Moms for America, Kimberly Fletcher. Yay! And the crowd goes wild. And her amazing daughter, who is also on our staff, Cassie Fletcher. Hello, Cassie.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Well, this is like, you know, this is a wonderful friends podcast today, but I'm really excited because the both of you are amazing in this book and what you do. The whole mother-daughter team is amazing. Kimberly, you know, we have a lot of our kids working with us and we love that. So welcome. I haven't had you on the podcast for a while, Kimberly.
I know. It's been a while. I missed you. We have to do a podcast to be able to talk to each other, right?
Yeah, I know, we're so busy. All right, ladies, first I want to ask you, before we get into the book, and this is really a great discussion because remembering the ladies is just such an important part of history, but have the two of you, I know this answer, but have the two of you ever written a book together? Has there ever been a Cassie-Kimberly book in the past? Is this the first one?
This is the first one. she's written books. I've written books. I've collaborated with other people, but this is the first time we've collaborated together. And it's been an incredible journey. We do have a couple others that we're working on after this one, but we had so much fun doing this one. I can say I want to talk about these things. And we talk back and forth about how we're going to write the story. She writes it. We go back and forth. And we just get to spend a lot of fun time together. And they're all great stories we get to enjoy.
Yeah. Cassie, you were writing a book with your mom. Is this something you wanted to do? Is this something you have been talking about together?
This is kind of a project that we've had in mind for, I would say, almost 10 years at this point. Back in 2016, she had an idea for a book, and then this book was kind of being tossed around, and it just never really was the right time. And I think that it was all just kind of a perfect storm this year, and with everything coming up, the fact that we have the bicentennial next year, that we have, you know, Constitution Day was a good anchor point for a release date. It just all came together, and so we just said, we're just going to bite the bullet and do it.
It was actually Cassie that took it off the back burner. I mean, I thought we were never going to get to it. And she's like, Mom, next year is, you know, 250th birthday of the United States of America. Let's do this. And so, and after that, it came together very quickly.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't see the ladies maybe getting enough attention with our history, our American history. So that's why this is so important. And this is why it's so inspiring. But tell us really why you both wanted to do Remembering the Ladies and what it means to both of you. And then we'll get into some of the stories and specifics. But why was this important to you? We can start with you, Cassie.
It's important to me because it was important to my mom, right? I think that that's how it starts when you're a kid and something is important to your parents, they kind of pass that down to you. And so that's how it started for me. I definitely did not come into Moms for America being like, yes, this is my next 20-year calling. It was, I was going along with my mom, and because of that, I was exposed to a lot of these stories. I was exposed to a lot of these ladies. And when she would go and reenact as Abigail Adams, I had to go along with her. And so I had to pick someone, and I went through and I actually picked Sybil Ludington. And so my mom would be Abigail and I would be Sybil, and we would just go to different places. And that's really where it started when I was about 17, 18 years old, just following along because that's what you do when your mom starts a national organization. And I know that's a lot of something a lot of young women can relate to.
It's not the norm. Yes, it's not the norm.
Yeah, we have an unnorm family.
Right. And so for you, Kimberly, that's why I wanted to hear Cassie's response first. I know that she was inspired by you. This is a book. You talk about this a lot, Abigail Adams. You talk a lot about the women, historical women. So is this the book you've been wanting to do for a long time, just personally?
It is. The stories have been lost, and I wrote a book in 2011 called Women, America's Last Best Hope, and I talked about some of these ladies in the book. And when I found out about them and their stories, I was like, oh my gosh, why are we not talking about this? Because the only thing you hear about is how, oh, these women in the colonial days and revolutionary time period were downtrodden slaves of the patriarchy, and I'm like, do you know these women? Because I keep going back to that, the my big fat Greek wedding, and the grandma, she's like, he may be the head of the house, but I'm the neck, and I can turn the however I want. Those men did not put their names on that document, knowing that they were going to be sacrificing not just their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor, but their families, their wives, their children. They were all in danger. They were all being stalked, attacked, imprisoned, killed, and their sacred honor has been stepped upon. And so when they talk about these men and how they were, slave owners and landowners and racist homophobes, you're like, this is not who these men were. And they don't even talk about the women because they were enslaved to these men. These women were strong, and they were pushing their husbands out the door and handing the pen and said, sign it. They were the ones who were holding the fort while the home front, while their husbands were out serving, and they were again pushing them out the door, go and serve. Was it hard? Yeah. Was it a sacrifice? Of course. But they knew that there was something big that this nation was going to be. And without them and their husbands, they knew it would never happen. And that's why they were so much a part of the whole entire battle.
You corrected
Well,
yourself, Mom, and you started to say they hold the fort, and then you said they hold the home front. But actually, if when you read the book, you'll find that there was an actual literal holding of the fort.
they held it all,
That's
really,
true.
didn't
That,
they?
yeah, that's one of the stories.
Well, in the book here, ladies, you say that the revolution was quieter, but no less fierce, no less faithful. Talk about the quiet revolution, which is kind of what we're discussing a little bit from women and mothers who were the founding mothers of America. They were fierce. They were committed. Not only were they, like you said, helping their husbands and being in promoting that, but they had an urgency for saving in for America's future, I should say, not saving America, America's future.
Yeah, well, and they saved the colonial army, George Washington and his army. They saved it numerous times, and the sacrifice that they made, the positions that they put themselves in, and sometimes, it was just as simple as an afternoon tea. I mean, they were who they were. They were being who they were, and using the talents and experiences and class of the classiness of who they were to be able to defeat the British Army. It was pretty amazing.
I mean, we talk about this right all across the country, how powerful women are and how influential they are, and how God has given us a certain set of gifts and talents that can help mold a society and mold future generations. So that's what they did there. I want to ask this to Cassie here too. You say that these are biographical stories. Scenes, you say that they are scenes, not historical records, myths, not reality. Explain that to us before we get into the book so we can kind of understand what type of book it is.
So we wanted to reach into the heart, right? When you plant a seed in the heart, that's where it grows and it can be shared from there. And stories go straight to the heart. And I'm not a historian. I am not a biographer. I'm a storyteller. And so we took the facts, we took the stories, and we wove scenes, not as they were, but as they might have been. And
I
so
love that.
the idea is that we are telling you the myths, right? When you think about Greek mythology, Egyptian mythology, Celtic mythology, these were stories that came from roots, things that happened. Did they happen the way that they're orally told now? Probably not. But it's the same thing. America has deep-rooted myths. And so what I did was I took the facts and I wove the myths. So they're
Wow, that
true.
sounds amazing.
They're real women. They're
Right.
true stories. We just added the narrative, and it just made it more.
Gave it a little color.
Yes. Yeah.
It makes it
Nothing.
more relatable because when somebody hands you a history textbook and it's all this person went to this place you've never been to at this point in time that you literally cannot comprehend, it's just dry and it doesn't make any sense, and you put it down as soon as you can. Whereas what we wanted to do with this book was make it immersive. We wanted to pull the things that are universally relatable, moms with their children fearing for your safety or the safety of your family. What happens when you have to choose between love and duty? And those things are
Wow.
the root of mythologies. That's what C.S. Lewis once said, that myths tell us what it means to be human.
Oh, yeah.
But when you take those deep truths and you deliver them with a story that really reaches out and resonates and touches with people, they're able to not only resonate with it, they're able to carry it and pass it on.
Yeah, very powerful. Let's talk about Abigail Adams, Kimberly. Obviously, you chose that woman of history because she is the one that the title is written, Remember the Ladies. For our moms, maybe that are not familiar with Abigail as much as they like to be, would you tell us a little bit about her and why you put her story first?
Yeah, so we wanted to make sure that her story was first because she is one of the founding mothers that at least the name people recognize because of Remember the Ladies. But the feminists of the world have classified her as the original feminist, and
Right.
she was not. So she was not what they claim she was. What she was a very strong woman who realized the power of home and family. She was incredibly intelligent and articulate. She was a beautiful writer. She was extremely influential in the revolution because of the letters that she was writing to and from her husband. And the Remember the Ladies came from a correspondence that they were having when he was talking about the changes to the government, how they were fighting for freedom. And she said, well, when you win this, remember the ladies. Because
Right.
there were a lot of British customs that were putting women in a position that were not American type of positions. And we fought that battle and we won. But she was one of the original ones that said, hey, while you're fighting for this and you're fighting for that, if you remember the ladies. But it wasn't just that. This woman was a anti-war. She was a Quaker. She was completely opposed to war, and yet she was reading to her son, who became a future president, John Quincy Adams. She would read the Bible, and then she would read to Ode to Collins about the patriots. And she would take her spoons, her silver spoons, and she would pewter and silver, and she'd run them through the the fire and turn them into bullets for the colonial army. She would bring them in and feed them. She took care of a whole entire community when there was a sickness that went through the town. Her mother, she was sick herself, and with her children, and somehow she carried it. She carried the farm. She carried the community. She spoke French fluidly. She taught herself all of these things. And what impresses me so much about her is that at a time when it was not common for women to go to school at higher levels and learn these things, she took it upon herself to teach herself, and then she taught her children. And the initiative of that, it's like nothing can hold you back, okay? You're the only one that
There
can
was no
hold you back.
ceiling there with
There's
her.
no ceiling. She was like,
Nobody was
I'll do
stopping her.
it. I'll do it. So that's why we wanted her to be first, because she really kind of led the way. It's funny because it's not my favorite story. I have some stories that are my favorites, but I felt that she was the most prominent one and she should be first.
All right, more with Moms for America founder Kimberly Fletcher and her daughter Cassie on the women who were the heart, the soul, and the backbone of the American Revolution. Stay with us. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning, from free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com.
You know, I've never really felt comfortable sharing pictures of my kids on social media. Then I found Tubu, a premium social app with an actual authentic community. No bots, no one trolling me or my family, just clean, wholesome content you can trust.
All right, moms, welcome back to the Moms for America podcast. Before we continue with our interview with Cassie and Kimberly, I do want to remind everyone to please like, subscribe, and share this podcast. Please, this is how we get our podcast out. This is how we share this information. What a great book to share with our mama friends. Also, if you have an idea or a topic for our podcast, please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net. I'd love to hear from you. Lastly, I want to invite all of you that are listening to join the movement here at Moms for America. I really hope that you are part of our sisterhood. We are moms all across this country uniting together. We are fighting for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. How do you find out about us? You go to momsforamerica.us. You sign up for the newsletter, join one, start one, check out all of our groups there, all of our resources, webinars, and seminars. We're here for you, moms. All right. So now we're going to get back to the show. What about you, Cassie? We've established it with Abigail. I'm not sure exactly. I'm drawing a blank on how many women you actually showcase,
20.
but do you have a couple of favorites? And how many do we showcase?
It's 26 women for 2026. And I liked all of them for their own reasons, but I really like the quiet stories. The stories where the consequences are known, but also unintended. The story of Sarah Clark, for instance, is just deeply real and true and painful. This
Well, you have to tell us what that is now because we don't know.
So her story is that her husband was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. And when those men put their names on that document, they announced themselves as traitors. When they were saying that we pledge our lives, and that was true. They were pledging their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor, and many of them lost at least one, if not all of those things. And so when their sons, when they signed up for the militia and they were taken prisoner by the British, when their last name, Clark, was known, they were treated horribly. They weren't just prisoners now, they were hostages. And their declaration was that they would release the boys if Abraham Clark would relinquish
Recant. He
his
had to re
signature,
recant his
essentially. He
signature.
would, if he would, if he would, if he would renounce America, if he would renounce the
He'd go
declaration,
back on his
if he would go back
commitment,
on it. And he couldn't do it. And he went to his wife and they talked it out, and she said, "You can't do it." And so for months they didn't know if their sons were going to live or die. And they had to, they offered money, they offered their homes, they offered everything that they had, except for the one thing that they could not give. And by the grace of God, their sons did come home. They were never the same.
And she stood by him. She
She's
was
the
the
one that told
strength.
him, "You can't," because he was like, "What do I do?" And she's like, "You can't. You can't recant." And even though they knew, we just don't understand. We don't understand the sacrifice that these women and their husbands made. But it was Sarah that stood strong and said, "We can't do that." Like Cassie said, they offered everything, even themselves, but the only thing they wanted was the one thing they couldn't do.
What would be some of your favorites, Kim?
So
Probably the whole book is your favorites, obviously all 26 women, but we got to pick a couple of highlights here. We can't tell everybody the whole book right away. We
We
got,
could have
they got to buy the book.
we could have done 100 more, but we had to come up with a number that made sense, and 26 was it. So
Yeah, I love
that's just
that.
incredible, incredible women. So I guess there are three that always come to the top of my list, simply because they're so unique in what they did. So Hannah Hendy is at the top of my list. And when the British were coming through, she lived in Vermont. When the British were coming through, they used Indian raiders to help win the war by going in and ransacking towns. And for their payment, the Indians would take women and children. And they had a relay
Take women and
system
childrens.
where when they came into one town, there was somebody who was responsible for going on their horse and warning the other town. And so Hannah's husband was that person for Royalton, Vermont. And so the raiders had come through the town before. The rider had come in, warned the town. Her husband jumped on the horse and said, "Go to the neighbor's house. Don't stop until you get there." And then he took off. She had her little baby on her hip. She had her 5-year-old son in her hand, and she got halfway to the neighbor's house when the Indian raiders came in and ripped that little boy right out of her arms, and they were gone. Any mother would probably what collapse and go, "Oh my gosh, what do I do?" And this mama did not. She hiked up her skirt and she tracked those Indians for miles until she got to the British fort. She went straight up to the commander and she said, "I command you to surrender my son." And he's like, "Well, ma'am, this is what their payment. We're not going to harm the boys. They're not going to kill them. They're just going to take them to Canada and turn them into good little braves." And she said, "No child would be able to withstand a journey like that. Have the British become killers of children too?" And so he acquiesced and he said, "Okay, you can have your son." And then she looked over and she saw all those other little boys over there crying. And she said, "I'll take them too." And so he let them all go. And she had those
Look
boys
at that,
wrapped around
Mama.
her skirts and hiked all the way back with her baby in arms and delivered those boys back to their families.
What a story. What a
That sound
story.
like a downtrodden woman, a slave to the patriarchy? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
And
Now the
there are others, of course, that the opportunity to save the colonial army was in numerous occasions. Penelope Barker would be the other one, that because it's just so it's different from this one, and each story is so unique. Penelope Barker invited 50 plus friends, I think it was 56 of her friends, into her home and to have an untea tea party. And she said, the men, they went out and they did that cute little Boston tea party with their costumes in the middle of the night. But she said, we're going to do it in the middle of the day. And she had a document and she encouraged all the women to sign a document saying that they would not purchase any British goods. And so they no longer got tea, and tea was a big thing back then, so they had herbal tea. Herbal tea came from that. And every single one of those women signed it. All the women in the entire colonial communities in South Carolina, other places, signed it. They refused to buy British goods. Women are the purchasers, right? So they almost completely destroyed the commerce, the British commerce in the colonies, these women, because they refused to buy their goods. And it went all the way to England, and the king and the newspaper reporters, they were like, what is going on in America? Is there a female Congress too? And we're like, you know what? We don't need a female Congress. We got our purse.
I mean, like you said, the stories are so different, but they're so inspiring either way. This one here was one I want to mention because you wrote in the book here that Mary Ball Washington, her hands never signed a declaration, but they baked the bread that fed the boy who found a nation. And it's so integral on all of the roles and influence that moms and wives have had, because we know that we can't do it without one another. And we know that America was built on families and those women, those moms raising the next generation of patriots, which is what we do here at Moms for America.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
that's the whole point of what we're doing. And I love that we have this, mother-daughter team, and the fact that Haley, your daughter, works with us too. The talents and experience that they bring are amazing. It's
Yeah.
obvious, our influence has touched their lives, but their influence is touching ours. And
Yeah.
they bring additional experience to the table that makes us better. So this project was a great love for me, not just for the stories, but for the opportunity that I had to share the time with my daughter, and that now she loves those
Amen.
stories as much as I do.
I do. I love that. And Cassie, she's been writing, I think, since the day she walked out of the womb. She's just naturally a writer. And this is just another way of you to kind of share your talents. What did you learn from this book, Cassie? I know moms probably have all these 26 women, she has all their biographies memorized because I know your mom was quite the historian. I constantly learn from her. But what did you learn by writing about these courageous women?
I think that it was more of a reinforcement than an actual learning of new knowledge. This idea that stories are powerful, because reading just the biographical information, my mom had compiled a lot, and I had to go through it and pick out, what is the most relevant, what do we want to highlight, what can
Right.
we toss to the side, and storying. Their stories. And we don't really think about history as story, but it's right there in the name, right? History. And it's not supposed to be, but whatever. You get what I'm saying. And we've lost that connection with history. We've lost that oral tradition that was passed down that made these stories alive and real and true. Did George Washington ever chop down a cherry tree when he was a kid and say, I cannot tell a lie? Probably not. But when we tell that story to our kids, it plants that seed in their hearts of, we tell the truth. We take ownership of our actions. And that's what these stories do. And I think that that was just a reinforcement for me. And also, I'm going to be honest, validation, because that's what I study.
Yeah. Well, great job. Kimberly, what about some of these things that you'd want to share with our moms about why this book would be important. I think for me, I'm thinking to myself, out of these 26, I probably know, I don't know, maybe 8 to 9. So I'm anxious to get acquainted with these other women in this book because I'm sure all of us are just not as familiar with our historical female leaders. So what would moms gain from this? How would they be inspired? What would touch them?
Just the fact that these are ordinary women. You look at the founding fathers and you know, Cassie was talking about George Washington, the cherry tree. Those things resonate with us. They're encouraging, empowering things, but you know that it actually happened. Again, these are real women, true stories, real events. We just added story to it. And it's when you read these stories, I think that it will help moms realize just how powerful their influence is. And that's my whole entire goal. From the time I started this organization, my main deeply rooted purpose is to empower moms to realize just how powerful their influence is simply by being who they are. And that's what these women did. They didn't do extraordinary things. Okay, maybe Deborah Sampson went over the top a little bit when she decided to put on a uniform and be a man. But
Maybe.
most of these women were just ordinary women doing ordinary things. And even Deborah
Fighting the fight.
Sampson, yeah, even Deborah Sampson, she was doing it for her children. She wanted to know, my kids are okay back home. And they were all mothers first. And everything that they did was because of that.
That's actually an integral part of Deborah's story is that she didn't have children at the time. She was a school teacher and she didn't know what she could do. She didn't have a home front. And so she's like, I'm as tall as a man. I could probably pass for a man. And she's like, I have to do something. And so for Deborah, it wasn't about beating the patriarchy or becoming a man, it was about doing what she could do. And so she stepped into that role because there was a gap that needed to be filled. And when she was found out, actually she was shot, and that's not how they found out. She dug the bullet out of her thigh herself, patched herself up, but she got sick. She got sick
It
and
was the second
she
time
was
she had
knocked
to go
out.
to the doctor that they found
Yes.
out.
I mean, this is the gal you want in your foxhole, right?
Yeah, right. But I mean, all of these women were, and Sybil Ledington, she was a young girl. She wasn't a mother. She didn't have children. But it's remembering the ladies that the reason why it took us a long time to figure out the perfect name for this book, and we had all kinds of different names because they aren't just mothers. They all became mothers, but they weren't all mothers at the time. But they had that mother's heart. They had
Right, which
that
every female
patriotic,
does.
yes, they had that innate patriotic spirit of, hey, I'm gonna do something. And first and foremost, you're gonna think about your family. And Sybil Ledington thought of her father. And Deborah Sampson was thinking about the children in her community and her extended family. I mean, it was all about this is not right. And I think they were all justice warriors in their little varying ways. But I think what mostly this is going to do to moms is give them stories they can share with their children. Because when these stories inspire them, then they can share them with their children, and their children, especially their daughters, will realize, wow, women are powerful. And this is one of the things I've told raising sons and daughters in this world is complicated. Because you have the women trying to demasculate men, you have girls who don't realize who they are, the value of who they are. And what stories like this do is remind us just how powerful our influence is in the roles that we have. And that doesn't mean that we're, subject to a specific, box. It just means that the power and the virtue within us that comes out because of our unique roles is vital to the survival of a society. So I always told my daughters, and I think that book kind of reiterates it, that you have enormous influence, enormous. You have the power to build a man or a boy up to his highest heights or crush him down to his lowest lows. Wield that power wisely. And that's what these women did. These ladies did what they could do in their own sphere of influence and the opportunities that they had presented to them, whether it was Walking 10 miles to warn Colonial, George Washington's army that the British were coming, or inviting the British army into an afternoon lunch and wine session while the Colonial army was passing by her home. I mean, these are the kinds of
Right.
things that these women did. They just did what they could do where they were with who they were. And that They
That's powerful.
literally saved George Washington's army on numerous occasions and made a tremendous difference in the communities in our nation.
I think too, just as a comment, I think Abigail Adams' request to remember the ladies has just exploded, because I think about today in today's world and the fights that we're engaged in, the battles that we are involved in, protecting our kids, our home, America. The ladies have stood up and the ladies have risen up to defend our country and our kids in America. I look at you, Cassie, and this next generation, and you are rising up in an incredible way. Your generations are stepping up because they're no longer feeling defeated or told exactly what to do. They've figured it out that they are the strong. They are the next generation of leaders or of mothers or of world changers.
And I think for my generation, specifically Generation Y, it now all of a sudden, in their 30s, they're getting married, they're having children, or they're trying to have children and realizing that they can't, for whatever reason, biology being what it is. And they're realizing either they were lied to
Yeah.
or that they missed an opportunity, or they have their kids and they're like, oh my gosh, I don't want my kids to grow up in this crazy world. I know girls who have told me straight up that they're not having children because they wouldn't want to bring them into the world as it is. And my response to that is, if why would you allow the world to dictate your
Yeah.
happiness to you in that way? Why would you deny yourself that blessing? If
Yeah.
you don't want to bring children into this world, don't deny yourself children. Change the world.
Yeah, that's
Bring
right. We
children
need
into the
those
world and
people.
then change it. That's what we need to do. Well,
That's it.
one of the I think really special things about this book, aside from the incredible stories, is that our dear friend, a very prominent mother, Linda McMahon, wrote the foreword for the book,
I heard about this.
and
This is great.
she talked about the whole entire foreword is about being a mother. And think about
Yeah.
all the things that she did. She ran a multi, million dollar company, whether it's Worldwide Wrestling Federation. She is served in the administrations and the governments and the White House. And I mean, all of the things that she's done, the places that she's been, and the things that she's seen and participated in. And what did she talk about? Being a mother. That
Yeah.
was the most valuable thing to her. And she said, I commend these stories. I am honored to commend these stories to mothers. And I think that also was a very powerful story to add to
Yeah.
the book. So we
That
are
was.
grateful for
That's
that.
another story in the book. So it's really 27, but we won't tell anybody. Yeah.
Well,
Well, you
I managed
ladies.
to sneak a few more into the introduction. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, okay. Well, this sounds like a fantastic book, and I really wanted to chat with both of you because I think the historical women have just not had enough publicity, and we do want to remember the ladies, and this is how we are changing our world today by the ladies, the moms, the young girls all stepping up and just making a difference. So how do we get the book? How do we get the book?
It drops midnight on September 17th, Eastern Time, I believe.
Constitution
So,
Day.
Constitution Day, set, mark your calendar because it is gonna be amazing. We have the 1770 or 17, sorry, not 1776, 1787. Price is the black and white version, but we also have a special hardcover version that is in full color and it's gorgeous.
Gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah, I would get that. Get it because and put it on your shelf and start that home library of the stories of America. And this is a great book to start with.
I highly recommend the hard copy, but you can get the soft copy too. Maybe get the soft copy that your children can hold and touch and hold on to the hard copy.
I think this is a great Christmas gift too, as we
Yeah.
think about this and going into our 250th, obviously, celebration of our country. So this is another way for us to celebrate America and those that have built it and have really played an incredible part of history.
Yeah. It was a thrill to write it. And the best part about it is now I know that moms are going to have these stories too and share them with their children. And that's the greatest gift in writing this book.
Well, you guys are the dynamic duo, of course. So thank you, Cassie. Thank you, Kimberly. We so appreciate you joining us on the podcast. And I know our mamas are gonna love this book.
Awesome.
It was wonderful to be here. Thanks, Debbie.
Thanks again, Cassie and Kimberly, for a great interview. We love the book. Moms, let's get this on Amazon. Remembering the Ladies. What a great gift for not only you, but for a special mom in your life. All right, mamas, I always want to thank you for being a part of today's program. Remind you to visit us at momsforamerica.us. Take advantage of all our amazing programs, the resources that we have to help support you on your journey through motherhood. We say this as we travel around the country, we're the ultimate support group. We're in this together and we're here to help. We have everything from parental rights to public policy, anything that happens at your kitchen table, literally to Congress. So again, check us out at momsforamerica.us. Sign up for the newsletter, fill out the forms. Someone on our team will contact you, and we want to help you in your journey through motherhood. All right, mamas, hope to see you next week. Like, subscribe, and share. And as always, let's keep changing our country, one home at a time. Thank you. God bless. A special thank you to our sponsors, the Herzog Foundation and TUVU. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.